You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese. While dozens of bills still await a vote in the legislative session, when the gavels fall at midnight Saturday, there will be only one left to discuss, which is the 2017 budget. Both the House and Senate must approve their own versions of the budget bill. And Ashton Mara spoke with House Speaker Tim Armstead about what his chamber is doing in this tight fiscal year.
The House Finance Committee passed out the House version of the budget yesterday, I believe.
Yes.
That budget fully funds PEIA,
yes,
which has been a major issue in the House this session. What else does that budget do? What does it look like?
Well, first of all, let me say, and I'm glad you mentioned that it fully funds PEIA, because throughout the session, that's what we've said. There's been this outcry, where's the bill, where's this or that? We've said all along that the bill that funds PEIA is the state budget, and that's where we've been from day one, and now we've been able to balance our budget. And let me step back and say, at the beginning, we said there were basically four sources to balance our budget. One of the, you know, obviously the governor had proposed some tax increases, but there's also cuts to spending. There are sweeps or moving funding that's excess surplus funding from different accounts. And then there's the rainy day fund, which is actually the revenue shortfall fund, which is where we are, a revenue shortfall. So we've said all along that this budget is a factor, those four working pieces, if you might. And what this budget does is it does make some cuts. It makes some sweeps, some transfers of money from some of these funds where an account may have excess funding that was left over from previous years. It was never taken from that account. And then the revenue shortfall fund is there basically for what we're facing now. I mean, that's the main goal for it. Now, we don't want to try to live out of that. We don't want to do this on a long-term basis. But let's look back 2 years ago when we were not facing over a $400 million deficit. The legislature, that was before we were in a majority, but the legislature took $100 million out of that fund to balance the budget 2 years ago. This budget takes a little over $31 million and balances it without any tax increases. So I'm very proud of the work that the Finance Committee, that the legislature as a whole has done on this bill. Not everyone's gonna like everything about it. There's obviously the opportunity to amend it. There are obviously a number of steps we still have to get through. But I think this budget is responsible. I think the people of West Virginia have said that they are struggling under the same constraints that state government is. And I don't believe that the people of West Virginia can handle tax increases right now. I just think that they're struggling to make ends meet. They're trying to balance their budgets, and they expect us to tighten our belt just as they are. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think it was maybe a couple weeks ago you came down from the podium to talk about the budget and talk about the PEIA piece from your desk on the floor, which we should say that doesn't always happen. That's not a very common thing for the speaker to come down from the podium and to address the members of the chamber. But during that speech, you pointed to a report that came from both the Senate and the House Finance Chairman that asked agencies if we needed to cut further, what would those cuts look like?
Right.
Can you tell me about what was in that report, and is that reflected in the House version of the budget?
Well, some of it is, but I think that there were, certainly when you talk about a 6% cut, then some agencies are gonna be more adversely affected by such a cut than others. So there were some who said, you know, came up with some very reasonable, we will just not do this program this year, we'll maybe do it next year, we will shift money from this to that, we may do a little less of something that they do. There were other agencies who came back and said these cuts will be very substantial, and we did not go into any of those really substantial, you know, cuts that would cut key services that that government provides for our citizens. But what we did look at is, again, the first thing we did is there were a lot of special revenue accounts where money goes to these accounts from a particular source, and it's not necessarily appropriated every year by the legislature as we're going to choose this amount to put into this particular agency. It just goes, whatever that fee or tax or whatever is, all goes into that agency. So in some cases, we had some surpluses in those areas where that had really accumulated over the year, and it's never taken, you know, I won't say never, but it routinely is not taken from those accounts and put into the budget. But we did some of that this year. So, you know, we're still working through some of those. We're still looking at some additional possibilities there. But what we did is we worked with the agencies and we tried to say, what would this particular cut or this particular sweep do to your agency? And trying to make sure that we're not doing anything that harms public education or public safety or the safety net for our citizens or health care, those types of things that we recognize that cuts in those areas or substantial cuts in those areas would have an adverse effect on citizens. So I think we've done a very responsible job in trying to locate those areas where, as people know, when you're talking about a $4 billion general revenue budget, there are obviously going to be some areas where we can make some cuts and we can make some shifts, and so that's what we've done.
That was House Speaker Tim Armstead speaking with Ashton Mara on the legislature today. You can listen to the full interview on our website at wvpublic.org or on iTunes. Members of the House put a controversial proposal to a vote yesterday, a bill that would drug test applicants of the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. Liz McCormick reports.
Members of the House spent 2 hours debating Senate Bill 6 on the floor. The bill requires the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources to apply for permission from the federal government to begin a drug screening and testing program. In that program, applicants for Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TANF benefits, could be tested if a caseworker has reasonable suspicion those applicants are using drugs, or if they've been convicted of a drug crime in the past 3 years. Applicants are required to enter rehabilitative or a workforce training program after failing drug tests, but after 3 failed tests, they lose their benefits for life. However, if there are children in the home, those children will not lose those benefits at any point during the process. The majority of delegates who spoke on the floor Wednesday were in favor of the bill, including Democrat Tim Manchin.
There is some benefit to this. This is a better bill than what we've heard at times, and there will be some assistance there for treatment. At least the Department of Human Services is going to be paying for the tests. They're going to be paying for treatment if, in fact, it's available. And it could help families and it could help children. And for all those reasons, I will vote yes on this bill, but with a heavy heart.
House Health Chair Joe Ellington is an OBGYN who says he has delivered drug-addicted babies in his practice. Those deliveries, he says, comes with a cost as well.
Now, I will tell you, I got some good news from my hospital earlier today. There is one little child that is going home tomorrow after a month-long detox. Month-long detox. That's expense. That costs more than what the cost of this program is going to be, even if everyone got tested.
Republican Delegate Patrick Lane also supported the measure.
Quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to vote green on this bill, and I hope this bill and this program is a complete and total utter failure. Because if this program fails the way I hope it does, that means there are zero people who DHHR has a reasonable suspicion are under the influence of drugs.
Only 4 delegates stood to speak against the bill, all Democrats, including Delegate Don Perdue of Wayne County.
Let me talk to you a little bit about TANF recipients. It's been said these are welfare people. That's the broad phrase we like to use. They're welfare people. They're on public assistance, yes. But TANF recipients are either going to school to get a job or they've got a job. That's who they are. You know, they're not the bum you see at Walmart, necessarily. There are bums in all classes of citizens. And by the way, there are people in all classes of citizens who are addicted to drugs. I frankly don't understand why we aren't drug testing Promise Scholars. It's a class. What's the difference?
After 2 hours, Senate Bill 6 passed overwhelmingly, 91-8. It did see some changes in the House Judiciary Committee, so the bill will first go to the Senate before heading to the governor for a possible signature. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Charleston.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning at 7:53. Today we will see some variable cloudiness throughout the day. There'll be a chance of rain this afternoon. Highs will be in the 70s. And tonight, chances of rain will continue with lows down in the 40s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
A bill that would reduce the state's severance tax on coal and natural gas from 5% to 3% has been postponed in the House. Rob Engel spoke with the chair of the House Finance Committee about that decision.
Senate Bill 705 was taken off the table for lawmakers this session and instead was turned into an interim study measure during a House Finance Committee meeting Wednesday. That would give the legislature time to study the effects of the tax cut in more detail during the months between legislative sessions. The bill passed quickly through the Senate, but with some debate. Some argued the proposed 2% cut over 2 years would help aid a struggling industry, while others say the bill would simply mean government-funded services in coal-producing counties would shoulder these cuts. House Finance Chairman Eric Nelson says lawmakers need more time to consider a bill that would decrease state revenue, especially in a tight fiscal year.
These taxes, according to that bill, would not have been dropped until fiscal year 18, so it would have been July 2017. What a study does is it puts much greater emphasis on addressing, potentially reducing this tax, helping these industries out. And we can look at that over the next 8 months. And then at the beginning of next session, then we are handling a tax reduction that can potentially help some industries instead of hitting this in the last few days of this session and rushing into something that we'll second guess later.
Lawmakers did approve another measure to cut some taxes for the coal and natural gas industries this session. This bill got rid of a surcharge on the resources that was helping to pay off the state's worker compensation debt. The bill was already signed by Governor Tomlin. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Rob Engel in Charleston.
The legislature's push to ban a second trimester abortion method has been vetoed. Ashton Maher reports.
Governor Earl Ray Tomlin nixed the measure that would ban the commonly used abortion practice. He cited concerns about constitutionality and patient safety. Courts blocked similar bans that Kansas and Oklahoma enacted in 2015. The Republican-led legislature passed the bill alongside some Democrats. Lawmakers can override the veto with a simple majority vote of both chambers. The bill would ban dilation and evacuation method abortions unless the doctor already had caused the demise of the fetus. It wouldn't ban the method in cases of medical emergency. There wouldn't be criminal or civil penalties, but physicians could potentially lose their medical licenses. Last year, lawmakers overrode Tomlin's veto of a ban on abortions 20 weeks after conception. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all of the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. And we are interested in your comments, so make sure you send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. You can follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills, and I'm John Cantese. Have a good morning.